Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk Diaspora Forum, a platform where we discuss issues affecting Zimbabweans in the diaspora. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Gibbs Dube. Tonight on Live Talk, we are discussing South Africa's crucial elections in which the ruling African National Congress may lose its majority. But first, let's take a look at what is happening elsewhere. With 5 months until the November election and no diplomatic solution in sight for wars in Ukraine and Gaza, President Joe Biden, who in 2020 ran on a campaign to end forever wars, is shifting voters' attention away from American entanglements abroad by focusing on domestic priorities. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Witakuswara has the report.
As Israel continues its military campaign in Gaza, a ceasefire for hostage release deal with Hamas appears out of reach, even with extensive U.S. diplomatic efforts. Meanwhile, almost 2.5 years since Moscow's invasion, Ukraine so far has rejected the possibility of ceding territory and directly negotiating with Russia.
In both cases, you can make an argument that the U.S. has been so heavily involved without necessarily thinking through the consequences of where that leads, that now we're kind of stuck with no good off-ramp in either conflict. And I think for Biden, that's the problem.
President Joe Biden did not commit any American troops on the ground in either war.
There are no American soldiers at war in Ukraine. I'm determined to keep it that way. But we are standing strong with Ukraine, and we will stand with them.
He scored a major foreign policy win in April by securing the passage of a bipartisan foreign aid bill that included $61 billion for Ukraine and $26 billion for Israel. But since then, he has been shifting the focus of his messaging away from foreign wars.
If Biden is going to win a second term, it's going to have to be on domestic issues, not international. And he's got some ground to make up in the key swing states. So he needs to focus on the ones that identify with Democratic points of view, for example, the abortion issue.
And he has. In recent weeks, Biden has ramped up campaign engagements, centering his speeches on the economy and other domestic issues, including protecting abortion rights, canceling student debt, combating hidden junk fees for consumers, and boosting manufacturing.
Clearly, they want to focus on areas they believe to be their strengths, but they're not the ones who only get to make that choice. I mean, the world will continue to intrude.
But ultimately, domestic issues are what drive Biden's agenda. A May Reuters Ipsos poll shows that while many Americans are unhappy with the wars, they see inflation as the most important issue facing the country. Patsy Witakuswara, VOA News, Washington.
South Africans are voting today in what observers say is the most competitive election since the country attained independence in 1994. Opinion polls suggest that the ruling African National Congress may lose its parliamentary majority and fail to single-handedly form the next government. Locals have expressed anger over high unemployment, load shedding, crime and corruption. About 27 million South Africans registered to vote in the elections, in which the top contesting parties are the ANC, Democratic Alliance, and Economic Freedom Fighters. Former President Jacob Zuma's Umkhonto weSizwe is expected to snatch votes from the ANC, especially in KwaZulu-Natal. Polling stations close at 9 p.m. today, and the full results of the elections are expected to be announced within the next 4 days. A party needs to get 50% of the vote in order to form the next government. Incumbent President Cyril Ramaphosa and opposition leaders John Steenhuisen and Malema voted today. Here's what they said about the polls.
The people of South Africa will give the ANC, as they vote today, a firm majority. So in my mind, in my head, and in my thought processes, there isn't even a doubt about that. And we are determined to ensure that democracy is the winner in this whole election. So in the end, it is the democratic process in our country that is going to emerge victorious. And the ANC will reap a dividend from that by emerging as the winning party.
Well, of course, you're going to go into an election for second place, but I'm also mindful of the fact that no party in this election will receive an outright majority. And for the first time in 30 years, there's an opportunity for change in South Africa at a government level. Every other election before this, it has been a foregone conclusion that the ANC was going to win. It was always about how much. This election, all bets are off. And so we're heading into coalition country after this election. It won't be the same as it's been over the last 30 years, and I think that should excite Democrats all over the country and certainly those who value democracy all over the world.
The turning point. It's a point where our country will make a serious inroads and a country where the voter will decide at which direction we are going.
That was Economic Freedom Fighters leader Julius Malema. You also heard from Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, the incumbent president, and opposition Democratic Alliance leader John Steenhuisen. Now, let's take a short break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Tonight we are discussing South Africa's crucial elections in which the ruling ANC may lose its majority. To discuss this issue, we are joined by Zimbabwe Exiles Forum activist Mrs. Diana Zimbusana Chambara, who is also a legal expert, ZANU-PF activist Mr. Kenneth Mandaza, and former CCC activist Mr. Fortune Mlalazi. Now let's start with you, Mrs. Zimbusana Chambara. Welcome to the program, all. So the question is, Mrs. Zimbusana Chambara, you have been casting your vote. You just voted now in South Africa. Tell us how you feel and how easy it was for you to vote in the crucial elections.
No, I'm not a citizen yet, so I didn't vote. I was just joking. But I've had the privilege of moving around, observing what has been happening. Actually, I had the privilege of doing this since 2014. I've been accredited since 2014 to observe South African elections. And I say it's a privilege because you then have, if you have voted, I had voted previously in Zimbabwe, and I still vote in Zimbabwe. So this whole thing then makes it easy for me to compare the two elections, as it were. And the South African election are always impressive, to say the least.
So what do you mean about that?
There are things that happen here that do not happen in Zimbabwe. First and foremost, Zimbabwe is smaller, and South Africa is bigger. But you'd find that because South Africa is bigger, if it was the same way that things are done in Zimbabwe, you would then have a whole lot of problems, huge problems. But no, they didn't. They don't have. They have a few logistical problems here and there. Like now, there was a protest in the Eastern Cape, and they couldn't deliver some ballot papers. But that happened days prior to this election because they had a special vote two days ago. So I can just imagine if Zimbabwe had 27 million people voting when we had the crisis of August, of 2023, where some polling stations opened as late as 9 p.m., what would happen? So you really do see that democracy is at play in South Africa rather than what the situation is like in Zimbabwe.
Thank you very much, and stay on the line. Let's come to you, Mr. Mandaza, in Poland right now. So it seems that the whole electoral process is being conducted by professionals compared to Zimbabwe, in which the electoral body is literally controlled by the ruling party and government. Give us your thoughts on this, Mr. Mandaza.
I think that is a perception, a wrong perception, that Zimbabwe's electoral body is controlled by ZANU-PF. But if we would want to talk about the South African elections that are currently going on at the moment, we know that the IEC has done a splendid job, and it is following the dictates of the South African electoral system, and it is within the confines of that particular law that they are supposed to conduct the elections that are currently going on. In comparison to the Zimbabwean system, we also have our own electoral law that we follow. And I believe that the Zimbabwean electoral body is also run by professionals. But like what Julius Malema has said, no elections are 100% perfect. And in this case, there are certain things that have also been noted and are being blamed on the IEC. But people are casting aspersions on the IEC, yet the underlining point is that no elections on earth, even in America and elsewhere where elections will be taking place, will be 100% perfect. But we give a great commendation to the IEC for a job well done in trying to make sure that South Africans are accorded an opportunity to exercise their democratic right to choose a leader whom they want under the circumstances that they are voting at the moment.
Thank you so much, and stay on the line. Mr. Mlelas, it's your turn now. Give us your take on exactly these elections. You know, you are there, you are observing everything, and there were a few reports of killings and abductions as compared to what Zimbabweans experience every election cycle. So give us your take on that. Mr. Mlalazi said...
Yeah, thank you very much, and good evening.
Thank you.
What we need to understand is that elections are a process, and we have seen the processes here in South Africa. We have seen political parties campaigning. We have seen the behavior of political party supporters. We have also seen the behavior of government and also the behavior of the ruling party, the ANC. And we pray and hope that other countries in the southern region, the ruling party, especially in Zimbabwe, that they must learn from the ANC that thuggery does not pay, especially when it comes from the ruling party. So the reason I'm saying election process, we saw the process of campaigning. It was almost peaceful. The parties were able to do their campaigning. The media played a role. And also to note, is the role of the police. The police in South Africa played a pivotal role, and they are still playing a very important role in terms of the discharge of their duty. They are extremely professional. They provide a service. They've shown that they are not a force, but a police service that provides a service, and that service is provided with firmness and fairness. And we hope that other countries are learning, especially in the SADC region, with reference to Zimbabwe and the Swaziland in particular. The voting day, yes, we have seen, some of us were able to move around and see as late as this evening, there are still queues. The people of South Africa came out in numbers to exercise their democratic right to vote. And we hope that the IEC will be able to handle this process in a professional manner as they have been doing it. There have been glitches here and there in some places. The administration opened late and the delivery of materials. Yes, it is normal to have such, especially with the numbers that we are handling. Above all, I think the process has gone well from the campaign up to the voting. We are hoping that it will end well, also with the counting and the announcement of results.
Thank you very much, and stay on the line. I think we've got a caller from South Africa. Welcome to the program. Hello, caller.
How are you, sir?
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm good, and yourself?
Very good. So what's your take about the South African elections?
No, it's very, very, very calm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's very calm, and it's promising to end in a calm way.
Uh-huh. So which language do you prefer, and what is your name and surname?
My name is Telford Mtambara.
Yeah, Mtambara. Kana uchida okanda mashoko ako neshona ipo.
Zvakanaka. My elections are kufamba zvakanaka. Hamuna violence. Zvinhu zvese zviri kufamba zvakanaka. Notarisira kuti pane vese vari kukwikwidza, chero ahwina, zvinoratidza kuti vachazvigamuchira mune zvakanaka. Hamuna hamuhondo, hamuna kunetsana kana kupokana. Vanhu vari kungoenda kunovhota nerunyararo.
What can Zimbabwe learn from South Africa, the way they are conducting their elections? In Shona, you can continue there.
Come again.
What can Zimbabwe learn from South Africa in terms of conducting these elections? You can respond in Shona. That's okay.
And so we ask one question.
Oh, Zimbabwe ingatsidza chi ku South Africa kana chitaurisa ma elections achwa.
And ndinoona kuti pari zvino ndichitarisa nema elections akabva kuitwa. Vaka Zimbabwe yaka improve zvakanyanya panyaya yekuchengetedza runyararo. Uye tinoramba tichikurudzira kuti varambe vachiwedzera vachidzidzawo zvatinenge tichiona muno, kuti nyika iite sarudzo murunyararo uye zvive transparency pakusarudza vanhu vavanenge vachida kuti vatungamire nyika.
Aha, thank you very much, Mr. Mtambara. Tatenda. Thank you very much. That was Mr. Mtambara in South Africa. He's a caller, he's a Zimbabwean. So let's come back to you, Mrs. Zimbutsana Chambara. Are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Right. Tell us, what will it take for Zimbabwe to conduct such elections as what South Africa is doing right now?
Zimbabwe needs to follow the tenets of the law, as it were, its own law. The problem in Zimbabwe is that we've got a law, the law on the one hand, and then actual behavior, the reality on the other. I'll give you an example. Pakaitwa my elections, the last elections I was in Zimbabwe, at a polling station where I was in Warren Park, We were told by the chairperson of the commission, of Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, that everything was ready. So by 7 o'clock, we were all queuing. And what happened at 7? They opened, but there was nothing. There were no ballot papers. There was nothing. They only came at 4 p.m. And whilst I was there in the queue, I was chatting with the relatives and friends all over the country, especially in towns. My sister was in Budiriro. They got theirs at 9 p.m. So you see, the law says the polling station must open at 7 a.m. And the reality is that the election is then conducted at 4 p.m. or at 9 p.m. So we are not following the law. If Zimbabwe starts following the tenets of its law, then it will be in a better position. The other matter is that nobody, even the representative of ZANU-PF, can tell us the numbers that President Mnangagwa got. We don't know them. But in South Africa here, I've just been to Midrand, where there is the National Command Center.
Mm-hmm.
The figures are on a big screen. Anyone can see the numbers as they come through. So you can tell, you can see that such and such a party, the last election, they got 5 million votes. This election, they've got 7 million, so there's an improvement. You can see that on a big screen. But there is a level of secrecy that happens in Zimbabwe that is it's not really conducive for the conduction of free and fair elections.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mandaza. Maybe you can react to that, because she's saying in Zimbabwe the leaders are not following the rule of law, you know. It's like an animal farm, like you never know what happens next. There's so much secrecy in the conduction of the elections, so she claims. Go ahead, Mr. Mandaza.
I think we need to be very clear. When we say the leaders, which leaders are we referring to? Are we referring to the IEC leaders or to the government leaders? Because elections are run by the independent electoral body, which is ZEC in Zimbabwe. So it is the responsibility of ZEC, following the tenets that she has referred to conduct elections in a manner that fulfills all the dots and crosses of the T's to make sure that the process is in accordance to that law. We therefore call upon our electoral body to take a leaf on some of the things that have been referred to make sure that the transparency that that many people would want to see is seen by everyone else. Accountability is also there and is done according to the electoral law. But like what Mr. Mutambara has said, there is a lot also that we can say are positives from what the electoral body in Zimbabwe has done. That is why we have seen the commissioners of ZEC crisscrossing different countries in the SADC and beyond to assist or to give a hand to some of these electoral bodies, because they have a lot of other positives. Whilst we also have areas that they also know that they need to continue to work on in order to improve, so that come the next election, we would have improved in every other area to make sure that our elections are free, fair, and credible.
Mm-hmm.
But let's also agree that this is a process. This is a process that we follow. And this process should be done with all the other members, the citizenry, following the dictates of the law, so that we do not have people casting aspersions to an electoral body that is supposed to conduct elections in a manner that befits any other election. We need to cooperate and work together with ZEC.
Thank you, Mr. Mandaza. I can see Mr. Amlalas is shaking his head, especially on the issue of saying ZEC is independent. Let's go to a caller before we go to Mr. Amlalas. I guess it's a caller. How are you doing? It's coming up. Hello, caller. I think maybe we can have a name for the caller. So, caller, kunjani ncinga?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, kunjani.
Nyaphila mfowethu, ibizo mbani lesibongo.
Ngilungile kumaphosa.
Ye, lungile akuthi ukuthi ubona njani ukhetho oqhutshwa khona manje kwele South Africa.
No, ukhetho ngilibona ukuthi aluhambi kahle. Ngibona ngakhona ukhetho ebizenze lake wenzeke ngahle eZimbabwe. Ngibe abadile ngakhona bathi ama-ballot paper awuye adeyile. Impilo evele beplanile ukuthi lo nto bazoyenza kahle kahle.
Adileke kanganani ama-ballot lona?
Ya, afike late. Angikubona bebethemisile ukuthi azofika before abantu befika, but abantu manje balinde 5 to 6 hours lindelayinini ukuthi bezosivote la. So into yonke eyenzakalayo lami ngokubona kwami kwelami iside into le yenzakala into eyenza iZANU PF.
So kulo buzima lapho sobolanzane kule sandla semfene lapho.
Sesikhona vele sende already sesikhona sende semfene, sesikhona vele.
Yeah, so ubonani kuyaphumani kwalapho?
Lokhu sokusovala vele ukuthi ANC vele bona sebelinde ukuthi beveze ama-results awo ngoba ivele into ebayenzayo vele sisovale ukuthi angeke ukuthi ilize leli le mali yangaka ikodileya yona vele lingaplanaga kanjani ukuthi i-IEC izovisa ama-ballot paper in time.
Siyakuzwa kakhulu Maphosa, ungathelela kusasa bona. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Then Mr. Mlelazi, it's your turn now. Just briefly, you know, on what Mr. Mandela was saying. He's saying ZEC is very, is a very independent body. And at the same time, what could be the impact of the outcome of these elections on Zimbabweans? Briefly.
Yeah, you see, I think our understanding is very different, especially when it comes to matters of politics. Unfortunately, Zimbabwe is an extremely polarized nation where especially members that are aligned to the ruling party, they often defend the electoral body. We need to be honest, if we are to move forward as a country and be a successful democracy, ZEC has, in the past years, played a significant role in discrediting the electoral process in Zimbabwe. Remember, when I started, I said the election by a process from the campaigning, the candidates to the voting up until the end, the counting and the announcement of results. But the thing in Zimbabwe, we've got a tendency of only looking at the voting day. You see, we must give credit where it's due. In terms of the voting, on the day of voting, the electoral board in Zimbabwe has done very well. But once it is sunset, where we start the counting and the announcement of results, there is always a problem. I'll give you an example. In Czechia, Dexter Ndona did not win the election in 2018. That was announced the winner, and it was an error, which was confirmed by the court to say, no, Dexter Ndona is a winner on technicality. So those are the challenges. You must not only look on the day of the election, look at the period before the election. How has the government behaved? How has the ruling party behaved? How were police behaving? How was the media, the state media, behaving? Not only you then jump up to the announcement of the results and say, and then conclude that yes, the process was free, fair, and credible. So these are the challenges that we face as a country. Mm-hmm. And to look at South Africa and say, yes, we have looked at the process before the election, run up to the election, the campaign period, the media, the behavior of the state media, the coverage of political parties, the behavior of the police. Yes, there were challenges here and there where there was violence in Limpopo, in Eastern Kahlehong, where two people died. But looking at the numbers, they are small that you can discredit.
Thank you so much, Mr. Blalas. We've actually run out of time.
Yeah.
We've actually run out of time. So thank you so much. That brings us to the end of our show today. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank all the guests and everybody else who was watching and listening. Signing off from Washington, this is Kip Stewart. Bye-bye.